This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the Morning Run, and you're with me, Julian Ng, as well as Wong Xiaoning. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Adam Minter, writer and columnist for Bloomberg Opinion on Malaysia's plastic consumption. But in the meantime, let's talk about gender equality in the workplace. Foreign Minister Dato' Saifuddin Abdullah made a splash in Twitterverse last weekend when he tweeted about his commitment to gender equality, ensuring at least 30% women in leadership positions and embracing a feminist foreign policy.
Yeah, his tweets were lauded by many people, both from civil society and the diplomatic corps. But it also received brickbats from those who viewed a quota system for women's participation as negating meritocracy.
And Dato' Saifuddin's use of the term feminist foreign policy is also quite interesting. Only a handful of countries describe themselves as adopting a feminist foreign policy stance or working towards this end.
Yeah, most recently in January, Mexico became the first developing country to launch an explicitly feminist foreign policy alongside Sweden and Canada. So the question is Malaysia now part of this fold?
So we turn to the minister himself for more clarity on what this foreign policy direction means. Dato' Saifuddin, thank you for speaking with us this morning. You've publicly tweeted that you won't attend manuals at your ministry or all male panels. For an organization as supportive of women's participation in Wisma Putra, why is this necessary to say this now, and why hasn't this been implemented before?
Well, I have a personal experience during the KL summit. I was on the panel, all male, and then one of our friends tweeted me and say, "Hey, how are you still attending this kind of meetings?" So I say, "Okay, I make a promise then that I won't do this anymore." Well, this is not something new, but I think it is important that as a minister, I should make a ruling that as and when MOFA were to organize meetings or panel discussion, that we must observe gender equality, in the sense that it should not be an all-male panel or people participating in meetings. We just have to make it real.
You also tweeted that you're looking to embrace a feminist foreign policy. Now, what does this look like for Malaysia?
Well, I learned that the first country that has launched a full-fledged feminist foreign policy, and they call it the feminist foreign policy, is Sweden. And this was in 2014. Now, Sweden is quite special in the sense that gender equality is already in the culture. You don't talk about 30% or at least 30% quota for women in leadership position and so on. They are way ahead when it comes to gender equality. The feminist foreign policy entails applying a systematic gender equality perspective throughout foreign policy. The objective in itself is about achieving all of the other government's overall objective, such as peace, security, and sustainable development. Now, when I say we want to start some kind of feminist foreign policy, I'm not that very ambitious. I'm not planning that within these few years we will have a full-fledged foreign policy that is feminist, but it is important that we include the feminist elements in our foreign policy framework. There are already certain elements there, but I think in normal circumstances, when it comes to gender equality, you have to make a statement. Because unless you say so and unless you repeat your commitment or evaluate your status, then things may be forgotten.
So, Dato, gender equality is a noble cause, but can we really have a feminist foreign policy if our domestic policies don't observe the principles of equal gender rights?
Well, there are a couple of things here. Number one, we have rectified the UN Convention for Women, CEDAW. We have amended our constitution, in particular Article 8, so that we don't discriminate people based on gender and so on. I think we were very active in the Beijing conference, the women's conference in Beijing, organized by the UN 25 years ago. And this year, I think, we are committed to actively participate in the Beijing Plus 25 program. Our Deputy Prime Minister is attending the high-level meeting in March in the UN on the status of women. So there are already efforts and initiatives by the government as a whole. But all I'm trying to do now is to ensure that my ministry will not be left out, or we don't want to lag behind when it comes to gender equality. And, you know, this is sometimes a chicken and egg story. You know, you do something internationally, something is not happening yet locally, but I suppose soon everyone will be on board. You just have to do it. I take the position that I have to do it in my own ministry, and I'm sure others will do in their own ministry. And for all you know, there are maybe other initiatives that other ministries are already doing, but perhaps they didn't tell the story yet.
So taking your cue of focusing on the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, what's the status of women's leadership representation in your ministry, Dato? How many women ambassadors does Malaysia have?
Okay. The way we look at it is not by the ambassadors. The more important part is not actually by the number of ambassadors, but the number of people holding JUSA A, JUSA B, and JUSA C. That's what matters. Because at the end of the day, you will ask me when we will have our first women secretary general, okay? So the way to answer is by looking at among our officers who are in JUSA A, B, and C, there are now 22 women and there are 57 men. And we are about 27.85%. But as you go higher on the ladder, you will find that we have only one in JUSA A, we have only three in JUSA B, though we have many in JUSA C. So the idea is to climb the ladder so that we will have sufficient number of people at the highest level, JUSA A, and then JUSA B, and then JUSA C. So the idea is to, in the shortest period of time, to make it 29 female officers in the ABC category, then we can reach 33.72%. We can do that within this year.
Well, that's a very detailed target, Datuk, and one that we'll hold you accountable for at the end of the year. Now, are there any other gender targets that you're aiming at in the longer term?
We hope to start our gender responsive budgeting for our budget 2021. A gender responsive budgeting is a way to ensure, some people talk about participatory budgeting process. Gender responsive budgeting initiatives looks at, for example, to raise awareness of gender issues and impacts, look at how accountable are we in the ministry in translating gender equality into our budgetary commitments, and also, of course, to change budgets or to look at budgets and policies to promote gender equality. So that you have a very conscious, your radar is very, very conscious that, look, remember I told you we need this target to reach how many female officers in grade A, B, and C. Now, that will affect the budget. And the budget people must have that in mind. Look, within 1 year, we have to do this. Within 2 years, we have to do this. So that you can finally arrive, for example, start thinking about when will we get our first women Secretary General of Wisma Putra. I can't tell you now, but at least you have to have that in mind.
Your stance on gender equality has generated both plaudits and pushbacks, as seen on Twitter. Now, how would you respond to naysayers who are not quite convinced by arguments for greater women representation?
Well, you know, there is always this so-called emphasis on merit-based culture and talking about equal opportunity must not in any way deprive men from holding positions in the leadership and so on. This debate has been going everywhere, But the fact of the matter is, in many instances, there is systemic issues. And I'm not saying systemic discrimination. I'm saying there are systemic issues. Sometimes it appear only when something happened. It may not appear in the policies, but it appear in the culture. So we really have to look at the objective. To me, I understand the discourse, I understand the debate, including the pushback, but you just have to be bold and brave enough to say that, look, we have gone through this for many, many decades. We need to come up with something, we need to say it, we need to have the commitment, and we just have to do it.
And that was Foreign Minister Dato' Saifuddin Abdullah talking to us about his feminist foreign policy. And we had a breakfast grill with him. In fact, I interviewed him, and the podcast is entitled Foreign Policy Starts at Home. Xiaoning, do you think that the Pakatan Harapan government has expressed this kind of gender equality policy at home here in Malaysia?
Well, they've increased the maternity leave, for example. That's one thing. They've also had some EPF initiatives for housewives. So yes, but probably the fact is that they're not doing enough.
Well, we have the first woman deputy PM. The MACC chief is also a woman. The top two judiciary led by the women, the chief justice and the Lord President of the Court of Appeal.
Yeah, good positions. But at the same time, are you encouraging men to step up to their roles in the household to encourage more women in the workforce? That's my question.
Yep, I wouldn't mind having a bigger role at home if my wife earns enough income. I hope that can happen one day. All right, we're taking a break for news right now. And when we come back, we'll take a look at Singapore with its stimulus package. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.